providing you with the tools, knowledge, skills, and power to advance your career, grow your business, and build a better future for your community. We are the Tourism Academy. Welcome to Business Class.
On this week's episode of Business Class from the Tourism Academy, Steve Ekstrom sits down to interview Tico Soto from Tourism Tactics by Tico. Tico shares his thoughts on tattoos. He discusses how he got his start in tourism with the Lake Charles Tourism Bureau. And he talks about his decision to launch his own business. Let's get to the show. Here's your host, Steve Ekstrom.
Welcome to Business Class, the Tourism Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ekstrom. I love to start the podcast with a giggle, and today is no exception. I have the wonderful Tico Soto from Louisiana here with me. Tico, welcome to Business Class.
I appreciate it. So good seeing you, and thank you for having me, and happy Friday.
It is Friday, although you might be listening to this any day of the week, but you know what? Once we're done with this.
That's true. You're right.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not going to judge.
The essence of the, they'll get the spirit of the feel of the Zoom and the call.
Well, I'll tell you, whoever's listening to this, you can enjoy your spirits whenever you're listening to this, as long as you're not in the car. So, Tico, I think the first question I want to ask you is, where does the name Tico come from?
Well, okay. So I always like to tell people, you know, I was born in Texas, raised in Louisiana, but New Orleans proud. That's kind of my, actually, that's a little hint to my next tattoo. So, but anyway, I digress.
Oh, we can talk tattoos too.
Yeah. So Tico is Chiquito. My dad's from Venezuela. My mom's from Louisiana. My mom and dad met at LSU, and that's how, you know, part of me is Venezuelan, part of me is Louisiana. So I have the spice of both ends, from the Latin side and the Cajun side. So yeah, because my full name is Herbertico Alejandro Soto.
I'll stick with
but
Tico.
You can call me Tico.
You mentioned your next tattoo. Most people can't see this, but I have quite a bit. Is that your most recent?
No, my most recent would have to be, actually, it's on my leg.
Okay, we can keep that to yourself. Really awkward in a Zoom.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just when I get a tattoo, I like to be inspirational, because most of my tattoos are around, you know, either love or my dogs, because I'm very passionate about my fur babies, and just the overall message, you know. So my last one, which a couple of weeks ago, is just, you know, it's simple. And I know you would see it on a pillow at at home store or one of those places. And it's just, you know, worry less and live more. You know, because that's really how I want to live my life, you know. And what do you think about it? You know, it's just, you wake up each day, and what you do between now and death is up to you. And so why waste 8, 9, 10 hours a day worrying about something that's out of your control? So, and I like those reminders, because even myself, I get down, you know, sometimes, and then I love having a little reminder that snaps me back into reality. And so for me, that's why, you know, I've started the tattoo journey, if you will.
They say once you start with tattoos, you're never done.
But I believe it's more of the messaging, because I've not met anyone that does tattoos because, oh my God, yes, they look great and they're cool, in my opinion. However, they're a message that will be with you forever. And in those days when you are, you know, depressed or you're feeling a little down, I mean, it's great to like look at this and just remember, you know, love.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm with you. I if you ask anybody who has tattoos what they mean, they have a story.
Absolutely. It's
and that's fun.
A location, a time in your life. They're at a city celebrating a wonderful event, and they want to remember it. So it just comes with, you know, now there is that small percentage of regret. But luckily, I've not been in that, you know, that small percentage of regret.
So you and I have been in the tourism business for some time now. I think when we met, we both had no white hair on our chins and more hair on the top of our heads. How did you get your start in tourism?
Well, it's funny. When I first started college, I had no idea, you know, what I wanted to do. And this was, you know, I graduated from high school in 88. And so from there, I went straight to college. And it was just, it was one of those times in your life where you just don't know what you want to do. So I had several jobs, went through several curriculums. And one day I was just, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so, being raised in Lake Charles, Louisiana, you know, a small town mentality, you know, it's not the town that it is now because it has grown so much. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I literally was reading the paper and saw this ad, and it was something to the, I wish I would have kept the ad, but it had something to the fact that you like to travel, you like to meet people. And I was like, oh, this is so strange. So I called, and it happened to be the Tourism Bureau, you know, in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And I didn't even know we even had a tourism office in Lake Charles. I had no clue. And so that's kind of how it all started. And about 2 months later, they hired me after a few, it just so happened that I was working as a teller at a bank. And one of my customers was a hotelier, and she was, bless her heart, she was really mean. But for some reason, she loved me. And so she would come in on every Monday and have this huge deposit for the weekend from the hotel. And another teller would have this great line. I would have this great line of people and this poor teller would have no one. And so she would wait in my line and come to me, but everybody else was glad because she would kill everybody else. But me, we talked. So anyway, she ended up being on the board at the time of the Tourist Bureau.
Okay.
But I didn't know that at the time I applied. So it all happened, and 2 months later, I ended up getting the job. But let you know how green I was, Stephen, is Lake Charles in downtown has an actual lake. One of my first questions when I walked in, after I was hired, of course, I can't believe they didn't fire me then. Growing up in Lake Charles, I asked the question, what's the name of that lake?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes.
It's a good thing you're pretty and clever.
Oh, yes. I'll never forget. At the time, the lady who still works there, her name is Shannon Landry. She was like, I don't even know if she remembers this, but they all looked at me and go, Lake Charles? And I was like, uh-oh, there we go. I was like, So as simple as that, that's how it all happened. And it was just a whirlwind. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, and now look at you.
Oh, yeah. I have to say this. I've been very blessed with my career and my options and just the opportunities that we get to do as individuals in the hospitality, because a lot of people, they know the industry now, but they don't know the industry, you know, and what it takes to excel in this industry. Because I always tell people, you know, we're not healing cancer, we're not, you know, raising the dead, but we are providing a service that's lifelong memories, you know, and, you know, we're selling, you know, dreams and, you know, making these people's fantasies in a way come true. So that's kind of how I like to, you know, look at it from my perspective.
Well, I agree with you. And there are two things that you just mentioned I want to circle back to. Number one is, what did you learn in that first job that you still rely on, you know, in your day to day?
The biggest thing for me is, and this is going to sound so simple, but I do it to this day. at each call, each person I talk to, each email, I treat it like it's the most important thing on my to-do list that day. Whether it's talking to like me and you, it's staying in the present, you know, because I learned that early in my career. Is yes, we are providing a service on a leisure basis. However, you are a service organization at the end of the day. And so that's what I still do to this day, Stephen, and to me has set me apart for so many other individuals in the industry, because I stay true to my service roots, because I always tell people, and because of my personality, they don't really believe when I say this, but in my day-to-day, in my actions and what I do for work, I really prefer to be behind the scenes and make any organization or make my boss, whether it was in New Orleans or Lake Charles, always look good and shine, because that's where I do the best work, is, you know, making sure behind the scenes, all the dots are connected. And so if I could make someone else shine in their position and know the difference with my position, it just makes a world of a difference. And so, and that's really what's what has got me through many, you know, many tasks, many obstacles, many situations in our tourism career.
Quick break to tell you about Group Travel Odyssey. Tour operators, do you ever lack quality service and support from your IT provider? Are you tired of entering the same system information over and over? Well, now is your chance to be part of the GTO community. Group Travel Odyssey is software and service that helps you effortlessly manage your group travel marketing, sales, operations, suppliers, and accounting. Visit grouptraveloddyssey.com to request a demo so you can personally experience our flexible software and service. Group Travel Odyssey, business without boundaries. Now back to Business Class with Steve Ekstrom.
You got to deal with a difficult person and she liked you. And there is something in that personality type. And I think you and I have this in common. The fact that, you know, I love my friends and the friends that I've made in the industry, but generally speaking, I like to say I hate people. And there's a certain personality type that can sit next to the most grumpy individual in the world and somehow or another win them over. Mm-hmm. You know, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to have a little piece of that? You know, what is it that you do?
Well,
win somebody over so quickly.
You know, Stephen, unfortunately, it's not something, in my opinion, there's variations that you can do, but you either have it or you don't. And the gift would be to acknowledge that. And I've just always been blessed. And I never take my skill as a people person for granted, because I know that is my skill. I am not the smartest crayon in the coloring box. I'm not, and I'm okay with that. I didn't make the best grades in high school and college, and I didn't. However, and I didn't like school. I don't like school. However, I like people, but that's not to say that I don't understand what you mean by saying I hate people, because
I jokingly say I hate people.
No. I always say to myself, man, people just drive me crazy sometimes. But at the on the other side, it's my connection with people that gets me up every day. And so back to your actual question is, I really do believe it is, it's not something that you can teach or something that you can learn. What you can do, in my opinion, what you can do is recognize your gifts and just read people. Because you and I can go into a room and sit by somebody and read them totally different than someone who's not, that doesn't have the gift of our personality. But what they can do is sharpen their skills of reading people, because you know when you sit by somebody and they give you a certain sign. But we who have the, and I'm very proud of our gift. We who have that gift can look at that and say, okay, that's that sign, but I've dealt with it enough. I know how to get around it. And then we mail them. It happens all the time. One of my bosses, I won't say which one, I've only had two, so let them guess, we would be good cop, bad cop, because, you know, she would be the bad cop and I would be, you know, the good cop, because that's just my personality. And, you mm-hmm. know, and I just, it that's, and I love that, you know, I used to shy and say, oh no, that's not me. That's, but it is me. And I love that. So
it is a gift.
That's one thing I would say is learn, look where you are in the grand scheme of things in terms of your ability to read people. And don't force it, because people know that and it's so uncomfortable.
I think what my dad said to me when I was younger was, you know, it costs nothing to make somebody else smile.
Right.
And if you have an opportunity when you're sitting next to somebody to, you know, make their day even a little bit better.
Right.
You know, you take that opportunity.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of these friendships that we've developed in the industry come from.
Right.
You know, and you can look at somebody and know right away they had a rough day or a rough life.
Absolutely. You know, and Stephen, I've had a client who has literally booked me and used my services because they couldn't get a client to call them back. And so that client would say, oh, you just got to call Tico. You know, and we'll work all this out. I mean, it's just, it's the simple yeah. thing. So the gifts that, you know, people say that God gives you certain talents, you know, if you don't use them, you'll lose them. So I use them. And so I brought that into my career path, you know, going from a DMO world to doing my own thing. And that's really my main selling point. Is my bonds with my database, who I bring with me on whoever I work with, you know? And so that right there is my life lesson. Actually, that's my legacy. That is my legacy that I'm going to leave behind. You know, I wish I could bring, you know, turn that over to, you know, and let my dogs inherit it, but, you know, hopefully I'll outlive them.
They get the trust fund.
Trust fund.
Leona Helmsley over here. So you mentioned doing your own thing now, and that's something else that we have in common, is that we've both made that leap from being an employee right. to being on our own. How did you find that transition?
Oh my God.
How was it for you?
It was literally the scariest thing ever. In the sense of when I made the decision to leave my last DMO. And you've got to understand, in my career, this is going on, this year actually marked, I think 25 years. Actually, it did mark 25 years. And I've only worked for two DMOs, starting in Lake Charles, then New Orleans, and then back to Lake Charles, and then back to New Orleans. And so I've only worked for two DMOs in my professional career. And I knew I loved everything that DMO world offered in terms of the travel, meeting people, get to promote a destination. You know, there's no one who loves the state or New Orleans more than I do. You know, and so for me, it was a very difficult transition because I didn't have capital. I don't have any backers. So I was truly just going on my name. And so, It was one of the most difficult. It wasn't a difficult decision to do it. It was difficult to do the process because I literally went out on a limb and with the prayer and just jumped. Literally just jumped because everyone thought I was crazy because New Orleans had created a position for me and I never had one before as director of tourism. And you know, and I had only been doing the job for 2 years, but there comes a point in your life when you just travel so much that you've got to, you know, in my markets, you know, and I traveled a lot throughout my entire career. And that's part of the job, which I love. But as you get a little older, in my markets, when I was at the end of my DMO life, I was handling Europe and China. So I was spending a lot of time in those countries. But it's not as glamorous as it seems, because you're back to back to back with different time zones and continents, and you have to perform. And especially when people hear New Orleans is coming to town, you have got to step up. There's no, oh, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. You know, they're going to want you to exude that New Orleans lifestyle. And I stepped up to the plate. But at a certain point, when you reach a certain age, you just can't keep up with the demand. And so for me, my body was saying, okay, so, you know, you got to slow down a little bit with your travel. And so that's when I made the decision. So the decision was the best decision I have ever made. So I just made my fifth year. Love my clients. My clients have been incredibly, I work with mostly DMOs around Louisiana. I just booked a DMO on the outskirts of Atlanta. I work with STS, Southeastern Tourism Society, as their buyer recruitment. So with Tourism Tactics by TECO, I'm able to pick and choose the clientele that I work with. And so that's why it's not one size fits all, because what I'm in the mood to do or use my skill to help an organization is what I do. So it's not just your cookie cutter DMO, which I love to do and I can do. And in working with the DMO, I have experience with all markets, because with my Lake Charles background, I worked convention, I worked sports, I worked consumer, I worked everything corporate. So, I wouldn't have traded it for any amount of money. And so that has allowed me with Tourism Tactics to speak the small town language, because when I started with the Bureau in Lake Charles, it was very small, but now the city has grown. It's a metropolis. I mean, it's just a beautiful destination. But when I started, it was a challenge, but we did what we had to do, and it has grown tremendously. So with that being said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, one of my favorite Southern phrases is that it's a location behind God's back.
It's absolutely true. You know, and if you know me, Stephen, which you do, and the listeners out there, you know my passion for Louisiana. I love every part of the state, small town, medium town, large town. Louisiana is such a unique culture and destination. And I love the fact that, you know, you can go 30 minutes and the accent changes, or the dialect, or, you know, there's still parts of, you know, down south of Louisiana, New Orleans on the bayou, that I'm like, I'm so sorry, what did he just say? You know, because it's, their accent is so strong. But that's what makes Louisiana great. It's a great state. And, you know, New Orleans, I chose New Orleans as my home. But I always tell people Lake Charles will always be my hometown, but New Orleans is my home. You know, so
I appreciate it.
So that's a long story. I would say long story short, but there's no,
you and I don't do short. Long story short. We do long story longer with a couple detours along the way. So if folks want to learn more about you or get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Please visit my website, tourismtactics.com. My email is tourism@tourismtactics.com. I am on social media, but I have to be totally honest. I do have my company on social media, but I really use my personal social media, Tico Soto, more. Because when I started Tourism Tactics, I wanted my brand to have my personality. And so that's the reason I made the decision to kind of keep the flow. And even if you look at my website, my dog is part of my website, because they're just... It's just my life, and I'm sharing my life with my clients, and I think that's pretty much the ease that I offer, because, you know, one of the biggest things, even when I started, is using the word consultant, because how many consultants have we hired as DMOs and they're like, you have to do all this prep work? And no slide against consultants out there, please. I know, because it's a very important industry. But for me, it's just something that I had to overcome. And so for me, it's, I always say, because, you know, on paper and, you know, with the, through the state of Louisiana, the Secretary of State office, I am a consultant. However, it's more project-based, because even when I started with clients that have paid me my first year and hadn't paid me since, but I'm still working with them in a sense, because they'll call me and get advice. And I'm just like, sure, I'm going to give a friend advice. So, and that's another unique thing about Tourism Tactics by Tico, because once you get me, you always have me.
But I'm not going to make
it. I love the coins.
I was about to say, like, I didn't think you worked for free. I wrap up every interview with a card game. So I'm going to ask you to pick a number 1 to 10.
8.
I was going to ask you this question as part of the interview.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't, and it came up on your card. So it's destiny. What is one magical memory from this past year?
Oh, wow. I will have to say it was, I get chills even talking about it. I will have to say that it was right when the pandemic started. And I'm a believer, I don't go to church, but I do believe. And one of the things with this pandemic, with a small business with not a lot of capital, I was stressed to the max, Stephen. So I was walking my dogs at one day, and I was like, man, what am I gonna do? And so it was a cool morning. Yes, we had them in the South. And all of a sudden I found this dollar on the ground. And normally in New Orleans, when you see money on the ground, you don't pick it up. However, I picked it up, and if you can see next to my front door, it's that dollar bill. And ever since then, I've been taken care of. You know, I've gotten stressed because I got impatient and the blessings wasn't coming at the time. But I have been taken care of through this entire pandemic with clients and been able to stay afloat during the pandemic. So I would have to say that was the one thing that sticks out. And it's a memory that will be with me for the rest of my life, because no matter what happens in this world, you know, whether you believe or don't believe, you know, wherever you are in life, at the end of the day, just be a good person and it will come back to you. And that's all you have to offer. You know, just be a good person and lead with love.
Well, you know what, Tico? I think that is a great note for us to wrap up on. I appreciate you. I appreciate our many years of friendship, laughs.
Thank you.
You know, crashing date night.
You'll have to tell that story on a different podcast.
Oh, that'll be all. You know, you'll have to come back. We'll have to do some more together. But thank you, Tico. I appreciate you. And it's been great having you here in Business Class.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Take a course, train your people, teach what you love, promote your products. Donate today at tourismacademy.org, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Business Class Podcast is produced by Stephen Gross and powered by Group Travel Odyssey. Group Travel Odyssey consolidates human resources, marketing, sales, tour operations, tour accounting, supplier management, and on-the-road management in one convenient, easy-to-use package. Improve your team's efficiency with continuously updated supplier information and pricing right at your fingertips. Group Travel Odyssey, business without boundaries.